Good evening. Dan asked the deacons if we would deliver the message tonight, and I can promise you one thing, it'll be brief, and it'll be accurate. And I tell you, the message he asked us to deliver was a message of forgiveness, and we may need your forgiveness as the night wears on, so please pay attention as we go through. The first thing we would talk about in forgiveness is recognizing that forgiveness is dependent upon the fact that we're willing to forgive others. I've had conversations with people in my life where we've talked about forgiveness, where someone has been wronged, and they've told me that they can't see it in their heart to forgive that individual regardless of what the cost. And we've talked about that. I've shared scripture, and I've told them the cost is your salvation. Because you have to forgive, and it's a difficult thing, but you must forgive. And it's an incredible burden if you have been wronged in a terrible, terrible way, and I never have, and I can imagine some people and the burden it must be, but we're still charged that we must forgive, or we won't receive forgiveness. Matthew 6, 14 through 15 says, "Forgive if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So it's scriptural, and it's something that's very important for us all to understand, and it can be a stumbling block in some situations, but we are required to forgive. One story in the Bible, and I'll be reading from Matthew 18, verse 23 through 35. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bars of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. At this time, the servant fell on his knees before him. He said, 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay what you owe me,' he said. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged, 'Be patient with me, I'll pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what happened, they were outraged and went and told the master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in and, 'You wicked servant, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart."
In addition to us forgiving others so that God will forgive us, we also must realize that we need to respect the value of the one that needs forgiveness, because God values every man's soul. We read in the New Testament, we talk about passages from time to time. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life." God sent Jesus to die for all men, not just us. And sometimes people make mistakes, and they ask forgiveness, and God forgives when people repent. And so it's up to us to also forgive them, because that soul is precious to the Lord. And sometimes we forget that. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." So again, we read that God sent his Son, Jesus, to die for the ungodly. For all men, and we're all ungodly. by our nature we are. So when we think about someone that's made a mistake and they've asked God for forgiveness and we know God's forgiven them, it's up to us to also do that, realizing that that soul is precious to the Lord, just as our soul is precious to him. We read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible teaches us that God loves all men, and he would that all men would come to repentance. We read some passages in 1 John, if you would turn to 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, if we really love each other, it's kind of hard to forgive, not to forgive. You know, sometimes if one of our good friends does something that makes us mad, you know, we'll forgive them. But then if someone does something and they ask for forgiveness and God forgives them, and we're not particularly fond of that person, you know, sometimes we want to hold a grudge about against them. And the Bible teaches us that we shouldn't, that we should forgive just as God has forgiven. Because, again, that soul is precious to him. Again, if you would turn to Matthew 18. In Matthew 18, beginning in verse 11, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." Here's Jesus talking now. "How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray." So here Jesus tells kind of a parable here of how joyous that shepherd is to find that one lost sheep, and how much joy there is in heaven when someone repents and God forgives them, because they're back in the fold. And we ought also to open our arms up and let them back in and forgive them. You know, we've been studying in our Sunday morning Bible class the book of Romans. And in Romans 8, Paul talks to the Christians in Rome about being carnally minded and being spiritually minded. And in chapter 8, Paul says that for us to be carnally minded is death, but for us to be spiritually minded is life in Christ. And by our nature, we're a sinful people. And for us to be carnally minded is for us not to forgive. So when the Bible teaches us that we ought to forgive because God has forgiven, we need to remember that it's a struggle, because Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he buffeted his body daily so that after preaching to others, he wouldn't be a castaway. It's hard for us to do that sometimes, because by our nature, we don't want to. We don't want to forgive. But the Bible teaches us that we must, and it's a daily struggle for us not to be carnally minded, not to be the way of the world, but to be spiritually minded, to be Christ-minded. And if we are spiritually minded, then we will forgive those who have asked for God's forgiveness, knowing that God has forgiven them. We ought also to also. Kyle's going to come up now and bring our third point of our lesson this evening.
I didn't get a chance to visit with Adam before we got up here tonight, and Adam said we were going to keep it short. Well, the first time I went over mine, you know, you got to keep in mind that for years I was a teacher, which you have to go 45 minutes hard. Well, then Sunday mornings, you got to get 32 minutes in there, you know, to do that. So I went over this, and the first time is 28 minutes. I thought I did really good. And so I went over it again. I said, I've got to cut that down. That's not going to work with four of us speaking. And so I squeezed it down to 26. But I said, that's not going to work either, but I didn't have time to go over it again. So let's see what I can do here. All right? Hopefully I won't need forgiveness, you know. But what I want to talk about tonight is continuing the thoughts on forgiveness. And, you know, to some of us, we find forgiveness one of the most difficult things. But yet, it is one of the most important things in our life. We have got to be able to forgive. And I want to start tonight with a reading from Ephesians 4. Start with verse 29 and read through 32. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. I do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And one of the things mentioned here was the Holy Spirit. And I know Sam mentioned our Sunday morning class, and we've all grown spiritually from our studies there. And when we were back in Acts and we were beginning to look at those men that began to develop great courage and to step forward and to do things that maybe needed to be done, but people were fearful to do those, what we began to see was that the Holy Spirit was acting within their life. The Holy Spirit gave them the courage, the strength, the wisdom to be able to do the things that needed to be done at that time to bring people to the Word of God. And I think that's something that's very important to us. I think we all of us have to understand that as a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit there with us to give us the strength to be able to forgive. We have to always keep in mind that if God can forgive, certainly we should forgive. And as we go through life, we see that in all aspects of our life, whether it be within our family, our workplace, our church body, we always find areas that we ask for forgiveness and that we also need to extend forgiveness. And I think this is one of the most important aspects of being able to live comfortably within this life that we're given. The next verses I want to read here are Colossians. And in Colossians, we want to go from about, chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. I'm going to extend this just a little bit. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. And I think a lot of times what we have to keep in mind is that Christ paid a tremendous sacrifice for us to be forgiven. And I cannot imagine, you know, the love that it took, you know, for God to send His Son to be sacrificed so that we would have that opportunity to someday be with Him. That is, as a human, that is very difficult for me to comprehend. That's a very extreme love, and one that we need to make sure that we show others. In looking at this writing again, Paul was talking about what we as Christians need to look at. And he developed a strategy to help us day by day to live the life that was intended for us to live. And first of all, we should imitate Christ's compassionate, forgiving attitude. And then we should let love guide our life. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And always be thankful. Keep God's words in all of the things that you do at all times. And live as Jesus Christ's representative. The key to forgiving others is remembering how much God has forgiven us. Thank you. And Henry will finish up our study.
Certainly is warm in here, isn't it? Y'all forgive me. We were going to try our very best to finish this last section and hopefully inspire a little thought. My section starts out by saying that we should make every effort to forgive as God forgives by forgetting the trespass. That's a lot easier to say that you're going to forget something that has been done against you or something that you perceive to have been done against you. God is a lot better at forgetting than we are. There's a story of a man who allegedly could talk to God, and as a test, a friend of his wanted to know what God could tell him about his sin. Well, his buddy thought about that for a little bit, and of course, the answer was that God has already forgotten. God forgets our trespasses. And as I said, he knows how to do that a lot better than any of us ever will know how to do. I know in my case, sometimes I'm a lot better at forgetting what I should remember and not remembering what I should forget, or something like that. In Psalms 103, verses 10 through 12, it says, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as east is from west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I guess the bottom line of this scripture is God doesn't give us what we deserve. He's much better than that to us. His grace and his mercy are as high as the heavens. Have you ever laid out at night and on a summer evening, the clear summer evening, and looked up in the sky and just imagined how high is up? It just goes for infinity. That's how great God's mercy and grace is to us, as high as the heavens, as high as the stars above us. In Hebrews 10, verses 16 through 18, says, This covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. God remembers them no more. He forgets them. When we are forgiven, and thanks to the great sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're taken care of. We are completely and totally forgiven. And I guess the question that we need to ask each of our own selves is, are we practicing the type of forgiveness towards others that God is giving us? We need to recognize that God's forgiveness depends on our forgiveness of others. If we're not willing to forgive people when they trespass against us, then certainly he's not going to forgive us of our trespasses. Also, we need to respect the value of those that need forgiveness as God's respected us. Sometimes it's easy to kind of judge people when we really should be looking at ourselves. And I think we need to value each and every individual because they are truly a great value to God. And we need to act toward the one that's been forgiven just as God acts towards them. What does he do? He remembers nothing. He forgets it. It's gone. It's over. It's done with. That is very difficult for us, I know. It's difficult for me, too. But in order for us to be the kind of Christian that God would like for us to be, then that's what we're going to have to do. And now, if you are a Christian and you have failed to forgive somebody, and you would like for us to pray with you and pray for you, you know, we're about to sing an invitation song, and you're certainly welcome to come up. And I could probably be the first one in line. We'd love to pray for you if you do need the prayers of the church. And if you're not a Christian, you know, now's the time to change the way you live, change the way you act, change the way you think, to repent and to confess Jesus as your Savior and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. If you would like to come forward, please do so as we stand and sing.